Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 152. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I'm here with Alex Khalafi, Security News Writer. Alex, welcome.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you very much. So glad to be here once again.
Yes, we are in, I guess, week four now of our remote podcasting endeavor amid the TechTarget office closure, COVID-19 pandemic. I think we're making out okay. We're still pumping out podcasts, still pumping out articles, getting it done as best we can. So, this week, we are going to talk about something that we discussed last week as well, and that was Zoom, because there's more Zoom news. It's been a lot's happened in the short number of days since our last podcast went up, quite a bit, actually. And we should get right into it. A quick recap. Zoom's had a lot of security and privacy questions, criticisms, news breaking over the last, 10 days now. There's been Zoom bombing. There's been vulnerabilities. There's been researchers dropping 0 days. There's been concerns about privacy and data being sent to Facebook and data about users that don't even have a Facebook account being sent to Facebook that was not in the privacy policy. There's been changes with the Zoom's privacy policy. There's been changes with the Zoom security program. There's been a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we should note, because we didn't really get into it in the last podcast, the two vulnerabilities, the 0 days that were dropped last week, were patched very quickly by Zoom. I believe it was the following day, so within 24 hours. So while it was not great form for the researcher to drop those 0 days without notifying Zoom and giving them a 90-day disclosure deadline, which is typical in the InfoSec community, Zoom turned around and patched those flaws, which were not insignificant. They were pretty serious. Patched them very quickly, and along with patching them, said that they were going to pledge to improve security, or they did pledge to improve security by doing a number of things, by rolling out more pen testing. They changed their this was in a separate announcement, but you wrote the article about this, Alex. They changed their password and waiting room defaults. And so now that those are sort of on by default, you have to pass it, correct? Am I getting that right?
So you're getting that mostly right. It's in the free tier and the single pro tier.
Right.
The ones above that, I think, still have a little more freedom. Or they have the same freedom or lack of freedom they had before. These new rules apply to the free and the single pro tiers.
Right. Yes. And that was important, because as we're going to get into now with the security and privacy news that has happened in the past few days, starting, Monday, and even a little bit before that, some of this was trickling out prior. That's an important development. It's an important update. So we can encompass the discussion today in a very simple question. Is the Zoom criticism out there, is everything that's being thrown at Zoom and done in reaction to the Zoom news, the various different headlines, is it an overreaction? And to give you a sense of what's going on out there, there was pretty big news. I believe it was Monday. The state of New York decided that it was no longer going to use Zoom for its public schools. They had been using Zoom to connect to students and connect students and teachers for virtual classrooms, like many school systems, my kids' school system included. And the state government said, we're not going to use it anymore. We are banning the use of Zoom. Now, that elicited a lot of conversations about whether that was an overreaction, whether it was an appropriate action, et cetera, et cetera. There was also news that broke about Zoom. I hesitate to use the word accidentally, but this is how it was framed: accidentally routing some video conference calls to data centers in China. And there were questions about why that was being done and the privacy risks and security risks that it posed, because China has different the government has pretty much total control over what goes on with the internet in that country. And if they wanted to intercept and access data or communications that were running through data centers in those countries, then they could do it very easily. Mm-hmm. It's not like it is in the US. Well, some people freaked out about that China thing. I don't think it was insignificant, but I also think it's pretty easily explained to say that Zoom's user base pretty much exploded over the past 30 days and they didn't have enough bandwidth. And when you don't have enough bandwidth to handle calls, you get more compute power, you get more bandwidth, you use more data centers. I mean, it's just what you do. And if some of those data centers happen to be in China, that's sort of the price of doing business. I guess they were, there was a term called geofencing that was at play here with their, with the way that they were routing traffic and routing Zoom calls. And they said they didn't know it was going to China and whatever, whether or not they knew or whether or not it was planned. It's not as nefarious, I think, as people made it out to sound. However,
right.
Those privacy concerns are kind of what led to school systems like New York saying, well, we don't want to use this anymore. It wasn't so much about like the macOS vulnerabilities that you wrote about, Alex. It was about the data privacy concerns and Zoom bombing, too. So I guess, Alex, when
yes.
you saw the news that New York was banning Zoom, what was your reaction?
I think my eyes did roll a little bit. if I can be totally honest, it's like, okay, a little bit of an overreaction here. On the other hand, New York has enough going on in its hands right now that, like, if people started Zoom bombing their public schools, I wonder if New York would even be equipped to counter that right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, the nefarious content that people are putting out through Zoom bombing,
yeah.
It's just you don't want to risk that. You just don't want to risk that with public schools. So I'm not saying every public school should do this, and I do think it was a bit of an overreaction, but I get it. I understand that, like if you're a kid's school, Rob, you're an actual parent. I'm not. If your school system was like, hey, after all this Zoom stuff, we don't want to use Zoom anymore because we're worried about Zoom bombing, would I be right in assuming that you would probably roll your eyes a little bit, but also say, I still kind of understand?
To be honest with you, I wasn't as nervous about the data privacy aspect of this. I know that there are a ton of apps that we use every day that do the exact same thing. They send data to Google. They send data to Facebook, Microsoft. It's not that unusual. I get upset when, and I think we talked about this before, I get upset when it's not in the privacy policy, when it's, for whatever reason, it's just sort of, it's like, whoops, we forgot. Well, that doesn't cut it. But if you just say it and you just own up to it, that's fine. Now, the Zoom bombing thing is what really concerned me more. I wasn't freaked out about it. I didn't think that it's as widespread as I think some reports have it out to be. So if my school turned around and said, hey, we're banning Zoom, we're going to move to Teams, we're going to move to something else, I would kind of like, okay, that's a bit of an overreaction. But at the same time, I get it. It's kids. If you are, or if there's a time to sort of overreact to situations, and then it's now with kids and remote learning and school systems. Like, I don't want my kids being scarred by, you know, someone like a neo-Nazi jumping in there with God knows what. So yeah. I think I had a similar reaction. I thought it was extreme. And, you know, based on a lot of the feedback I read from folks like Matthew Green, Johns Hopkins, one of the foremost experts on encryption and really data privacy as well, said he thought it was a dumb overreaction, but he understood at the same time people who argue the opposite. And I guess that's kind of where I am. I think Zoom is probably perfectly fine for the most part to use, as long as you're using the passwords and the lobby and that sort of thing to protect your calls from being hijacked, and you're not discussing anything that is super sensitive.
Yeah, I'm from my perspective, I would actually say my reaction to this story is the same as my reaction to the other Zoom-related stories the past week, where I think it's been an overreaction from the user base. So for instance, the Zoom also apologizes for routing some video conference calls through China. Bit of an overreaction for the people who got super, super mad at that. But I get it. I understand the nervousness, the distrust in Zoom in doing that. Bit of an overreaction, but I get it. Zoom sets up its own CISO council, and getting Alex Stamos to lend a hand, bit of an overreaction on Zoom's part, but I get it. I mean, we can go one story at a time, but like, it's, I would say I have the same reaction for all three of these.
Yeah, so that was interesting. Now, we talked about Stamos. He was extremely critical of the Vice article and sort of the media attention that report got, which disclosed that, hey, you know, we analyzed this app and we found it was doing something that its privacy policy said it was not supposed to be doing. Like I said during the last discussion, I don't agree with Stamos. I thought that was valid news. I don't think Vice can be held responsible for how other outlets piggyback on that news and what they make it out to be. I will say this. I mean, Alex, there are stories out there in the media, and I'm thinking of one in particular from the Guardian. The headline is Zoom is malware. like it's extreme, and yeah. I think Zoom deserves a little criticism for Facebook data exchange and its privacy policy. At the same time, Stamos's criticism looks like his criticism of the media is looking pretty good right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I say that as a member of the media, like he talked about media hysteria and like it's like places like the Guardian, I think, kind of fell into that trap. Now the Guardian, like the author of that article did not write that. It was a computer science professor at, like, I think Princeton who said that, and they quoted that in the headline. So, you know, whatever. But Matt, like malware, man, there are so many apps and so many tools, mobile apps, regular enterprise applications, plugins, all sorts of tools out there that people use every day that do ridiculously abuse people's privacy and to heights well beyond what Zoom was doing. So I think Stamos's criticism is a little bit more easier for me to take now, seeing all the fallout. But at the same time, I still disagree with his initial reaction to that Vice story. But it's interesting. So what did you think of, like, I mean, you thought Zoom creating a sort of a CISO council, like a panel to address some of these things. You thought that was a bit of an overreaction, I guess?
Yeah, I kind of felt like it was in the exact same way as the first story we talked about, a little bit of an overreaction. A lot of these seemed like a bunch of small problems rather than like a bunch of huge problems, but I get it. Like, it makes sense to me that they would set up this council. get Alex Stamos, to be on it. But I don't know, an overreaction, but I get it, is kind of my take.
Yeah, I gotta say, of all the things they are doing, beyond the tangible sort of feature ups or just for settings, default settings like the passwords, I think I kind of went the other way. I thought, hey, listen, if you're coming under this amount of criticism and you have computer science professors calling you malware, you know, you got to do something. And I'd rather have them do this, where they sit down and they say, hey, let's get some of the best and the brightest folks out there. Let's bring them in. Let's create like an advisory council, a CISO council, to help us figure out where we're falling short, what we need to be doing better. I mean, honestly, I think I would much rather have them do that than turn around and go on the defensive, like a lot of companies would, or pretend it's not happening, or go on the offensive and start attacking people and the InfoSec community or privacy community as well, who are taking a pretty hard on Zoom. The preferable way in my view, which is, yeah, you can quibble with the headlines, you can quibble with how some of this is being framed, but at the end of the day, there are things that need to be improved. So rather than complain about it, get to work. You know, bring some experts in, start working on things, make good on the promise to improve the security, and go from there. And that'll earn you more credibility and more goodwill from not just users, but from the government and the security community as well. And fair we'll point. See. Man, I could be totally wrong. I could be totally wrong. And again, like we said before, maybe Stamos is right. Maybe removing the Facebook SDK and the Facebook login ability for Zoom is going to hurt them. And there's going to be more credential stuffing attacks and more Zoom. But I don't know. My hope is that this council is going to have a good effect. And it's not just going to be window dressing. I used to be very cynical about these things. I would say it's just window dressing. You're just trying to get some press. I don't think, as much as I agree with some of the things that Stamos has said, some of his opinions, I do think he's a giant, and he has as much insight into some of these things as anybody, given his position at Facebook and his experience and his knowledge. So, you know, we'll see.
Even at humanity's darkest hour, you still find a way to be optimistic.
Listen, man, don't tell anybody, because I am the resident pessimist, and you know this.
Yeah.
I am all out of pessimism. I am trying to be more positive about things, and maybe I'm just a sucker, but yeah.
Okay.
I guess any closing thoughts on the situation with Zoom and what you think is going to happen in the next 30, 60, 90 days with them? Do you think we've sort of hit our peak for the Zoomapalooza here of news and information and reports, and that it's going to start to kind of, you know, the Zoom usage will kind of stabilize and we won't hear as much about this stuff? Or do you think this is just going to continue?
I think Zoom's explosion definitely made them more of a target, which is what got them, it got more eyes paying attention to them. It got more of their flaws sort of looked at under the microscope. And I still think we have some of that left. I would also say that eventually, probably in the not too, too distant future, people will get bored of Zoom as a topic. And then it just won't get reported on as much, or it won't necessarily be met with the same level of would fervor be the right word?
Yeah, probably. It's a hot topic right now. I mean, and yeah,
I think it'll die down eventually, but I don't think we're there yet.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah.
How about you? I think, well, just looking at the amount of coverage that Zoom has gotten, and just, you know, not to go into details, but looking at the readership of the Zoom content that we've produced, I have a feeling we're probably going to be in a situation where sort of big new revelations and reports and dissections and updates from Zoom are probably going to a decline, but we're still going to have a lot of stuff happening around Zoom. And I foresee that the Zoom sort of content train, the news cycle continuing for a while. I do. I just get so many people are using it. And if you start to see Zoom passwords, you know, being sold on the dark web or a rash of Zoom bombing again, you know, there's going to be questions about, well, how did this happen? Was Stamos right? Should they re-implement the Facebook login? Did Zoom usage decline too much because people don't want to set up passwords? They don't know what they're doing. It's not as easy to use. There's so many different ways this could go, and I think it will go in a number of different directions and continue for a while. It's just become part of the social, you know, lexicon. It's everybody knows what Zoom is. Everybody's using it. It is what it is now. It's there, and people are going to be discussing it, talking about it, writing about it, blogging about it. It's going to continue. Maybe not to the height of the last 2 weeks, but yeah. So,
okay.
Hopefully it'll be positive news though.
Yeah.
I really am such a sucker, aren't I? don't answer that.
Okay.
Yeah. Why don't we leave it there? Yeah, Alex, thank you for joining me as always on this call to talk about Zoom and all the goings on of the last few days. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate you.
Thank you. And thank you, obviously, to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.